Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. This is Cynthia Poulin, and today I am going to be interviewing Frank Commissioner Jr., and we're going to talk about lowering the bond rate in the city of Albany. And I am calling him right now. So bear with me for 1 second. I am dialing him right now.
Hello, this is
Frank. Hi, Frank. We're on the air.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
Good. The bond rating in Albany has been lowered. What's the reason for it?
Well, the city suffered a downgrade, as you said, last week that the city received word of last Thursday. That's May 5th. And S&P, which was the credit rating agency, and their credit analyst, Rahul Jain, wrote what I think was a rather sombering report for the city of Albany, really identified in their downgrade of the city from a AA minus down to an A plus, or from the AA category down to the single A category, with a negative outlook, with a 1 in 3 probability assigned to the city that there would be further downgrade in the near future. There was a real critique of the city made as it relates to fund balance. When this term began for all of us in city government, the fund balance was approximately $20 million. Today, as we speak, and we're still waiting for some 2015 audited financials to come back in a few months, but with some audited numbers, we really don't have a fund balance anymore. So the depletion of the fund balance is really a tremendously negative factor for the credit rating agencies when they take a look at municipalities. And that's what they looked at in the city of Albany. And there's a whole host of reasons why there was a depleted fund balance, but that's what they looked at, and that's what they cited in their report downgrading the city.
Okay, so you're talking about fund downs and a number of reasons. Can you tell us what those reasons were?
Well, I mean, if you look at the 2014 numbers in the city depleted about $10 million of its reserves. Again, we started with about $20 million that year. So immediately you have to look at the large cost centers for a city like Albany. And it's true in the city that we are a tremendous amount of our costs, nearly 80%, are tied up in people and benefits. That's okay in good times, but when you have your reserves being depleted, you have to look at things like a hiring freeze. That hasn't happened under this administration. So, when you have a hiring freeze in place for non-essential personnel, then you'll be having savings coming in every year on all various budget lines that you don't refill immediately. Again, that hasn't happened under this administration. We have very high debt costs in the city. Far above what you would want to see in a city or town or a municipality the size of Albany. And we've never really frozen non-essential capital projects. In fact, there's discretionary capital projects coming through the Common Council every year. So we've never gotten down to just the essential capital projects. As I said, we didn't do that with the personnel. And then there was just excesses in city government that have taken place where you've had buyouts go out that are not in accordance with city policy. Buyouts are something that employees receive when they separate from city service. This policy was supposed to have been reformed in 2014, and we never have reined in buyouts. And there's examples of that in the past handful of years. But really, I mean, you look at some of the large financial management practices in the city. Well, how do you see that you would be depleting your fund balance? And you need a multi-year financial plan. And that's something that I've called for, but in addition to just myself as one common council member of 15 in the city of Albany, the governor of New York State has called for a multi-year financial plan from the city of Albany. The state comptroller issued a municipal stress test on the city of Albany that was highly suggestive of that the city should have a multi-year financial plan. And now you have S&P saying to the city, you need a multi-year financial plan. that you cannot just work on these 365-day calendars, that you need to look out to a second year, a third year, and perhaps a fifth year. And we don't do that effectively in the city of Albany. We don't do it at all, not just not effectively. And then more recently, now you talk about fund balance. Well, when there was a credit rating call and the city treasurer and the mayor, presumably, and the budget director were on the phone with Mr. Jane from S&P, perhaps there's still a way there that even with some bad results from 2014, that the city could have possibly put a positive spin on things. But the city couldn't. Why? Because in the 2015 budget, more recently now, with audited numbers from 2015, we know there's a $5 million loss on sale of property because that budget for 2015 budgeted a $5 million revenue for the sale of property in Queens. Well, recently the state agencies involved in that transaction have come back to the city and they've said to the city that this is not going to be a political transaction. This is not going to be a bailout for the city of Albany, that this is going to be a market transaction based on an appraisal of the property. So there's $5 million that the city doesn't have. Okay, over the past 2 years now, 2015 into 2016, the city has budgeted $2 million in 15 and $1.9 million in 2016 for red light camera revenue. $3.9 million in total budgeted. The city is yet to make a dime of profit or operating revenue from these cameras. In fact, all the fines that have been paid, and if any of your listeners have paid a fine yet, they've gone to the company, the vendor. So you look at two large areas right there where there's another $9 million in whole budgeted over the past 2 years, the current year plus last year. So there was no possible way even for the administration to put a positive spin on it to the credit to S&P and Mr. Jane when they had their credit rating call. So you have this whole huge set of factors in place where you had bad financial performance in 2014, very poor performance, depletion of half of your fund balance. And since then, there's nothing positive coming out. Now, the other thing S&P cited, which I think is really relevant, is S&P said, well, geez, as I said at the beginning of this interview with you, our costs are heavily tied to personnel, and many of our employees are covered by bargaining units and labor contracts. Mm-hmm. And I believe currently with our most recent groups that have organized, I think we have 11 units now in total, and all 11 contracts are expired right now. And if it's not 11, forgive me, it may be 10, but all of our labor contracts are expired as we speak. So when you have all expired labor contracts, that's another thing that S&P looks at and says is S&P is analyzing the city's credit rating and their credit worthiness effectively. They're saying, geez, not only do you have this negative financial performance, but you have this tremendous amount of costs where you have these contracts that are 1, 2, 3, and 4 years old outstanding. So the city then also, that's another negative credit factor. So you put it all together, and that's how you get a downgrade with a negative outlook with a 1 in 3 probability assigned to further downgrade in the next year.
It's frightening. How far? At some point, I don't know how many cities across the country, but how do you get to the point of bankruptcy, and do you think we're headed in that direction?
Well, I think we're a ways off from that yet for a whole host of reasons. One is, I mean, bankruptcy, there's an implication when you talk about bankruptcy that your state would let you go bankrupt. And I don't know that New York State would have an interest in seeing its capital city go bankrupt. So that's one aspect of all this. However, and, you know, that doesn't look good, by the way, for the governor, for the other statewide elected officials, the assembly, the Senate. I mean, they don't want to start seeing cities go bankrupt, be that any of the cities in upstate New York. But Albany is the worst off of the cities in upstate New York, no doubt about it. In fact, that's not my opinion. That's the scoring that's been put in place by the New York State Comptroller's Office and their fiscal stress scores. So it is possible. But I think what needs to happen is there needs to be a level of seriousness attached to this credit rating downgrade. And something that is rather discouraging about all that is in our first meeting of the Common Council since the credit rating downgrade, which was yesterday, okay, Wednesday, for the Monday meeting coming up, the focus of the Common Council was on the Pilgrim Pipeline and passing a symbolic resolution. But what is also on the agenda, which the Common Council leaving caucus yesterday, the effective majority and the mayor's functionaries on the council have agreed to put in place three new positions in our recreation department, largely administrative staff. So, you know, in the first meeting after you just were really just brought right down to your knees by the credit rating agency, they really just destroyed the city's entire financial management practices in that report, did a number on the city there. There's no seriousness attached to it by the elected officials. Now, in many cases, it's, I believe, because you have folks on the council that don't have the core competencies to really read a report like that and understand what's being said there. To a handful of us, myself, I'll speak for myself, certainly wasn't a surprise what was in that credit report. But the other problem is I think that you don't have really the core competencies in City Hall where people can really take a look at a report like that and understand what do you need to do. And again, I talked to you before about having to put in place a freeze on non-essential hires, a freeze on non-essential capital projects. Those are tremendous areas where we could get savings in the near future by instituting a very strong or implementing a very strong freeze. And, you know, we also need to look at our relationship with New York State. And I think we need to start changing what our ask is, right? Every year for the past, this is my seventh year on the Common Council, the ask to New York State has been, would New York State please appropriate unrestricted funds for the city of Albany because the city needs a bailout. And that's not really working. That's not working. I think we need to really come with a stronger ask of, hey, we need policy changes put in place by New York State. Perhaps that would be more attractive to the state, but we need policy changes. And, you know, the city is really just in a tough spot now, right? Because, you know, you start to get into this downward spiral. I'm coming back to your original question about, you know, the potential or the prospect of bankruptcy. And the city gets in this downward spiral now where additional, you know, new people don't want to come invest in the city because they start to see all this negative information come out, knowing very well already that the city has a very high property tax burden as a result of the school district and the city governments. And new people don't want to come in and invest in a home. They don't want to come in and invest in a business. And the people you have more difficulty retaining them because I think they look out and they feel, and when you look at, talked about multi-year financial plans before, well, on the micro level, individual business owners or homeowners or potential business or homeowners, take a look at the city and they say, geez, a year out, 2 years out, three, five, 7 years out, is this really the type of place I want to live in where I will have a controlled local tax burden? And I don't think they feel that way. I think they're going to look at the city and say, no way, no how. You have common council members and a mayor and a treasurer that clearly have no appreciation of government finance. They don't understand debt. They don't understand what their cost drivers are. And again, just case in point, this Monday night, the first full meeting of the common council, we're scheduled to create three new positions. Administrative positions in our recreation department. So clearly anybody that's paying close attention would say these folks don't have a clue. So is bankruptcy possible? I suppose it's possible. I don't think it's probable in the near future, but I would hope that some of these folks on in city government wake up and wake up in short order.
Now, what percentage of the city is tax exempt?
Would you please repeat the question? I'm sorry, Cynthia.
What percentage of the city is tax exempt?
Oh, okay. So about two-thirds of the city is tax exempt. And once we get the finalized results after all the challenges of the reassessment that's going on right now, and there's a challenge period in place for a few more weeks, people can challenge their assessment. But once we get the finalized results of that, it's going to come out to be approximately two-thirds of the city being tax exempt. And I really believe that as you look at the upstate cities, and Albany has a great amount of tax exempt property, but you know, Buffalo does as well, Syracuse, Rochester, Utica, Schenectady and Troy have tax exempt property, Yonkers has tax exempt property. As you look at these major cities in upstate New York, there is a lot of tax exempt property, right? Many of these cities have medical institutions that are tax exempt. Many of these cities have educational institutions that are tax exempt. We also happen to have significant amount of state government property as well, and also some federal and Albany County and city and school district property. But as you look at these cities, I think we really need to look at our property tax system and say it's not working in upstate New York. You don't have any strong private job growth in upstate New York that's at least taxable and on the tax rolls. You're not encouraging the type of organic new development. Yes, anybody can throw a 22-year tax break at someone and get development. We're not encouraging new development organically here. You need to look at this property tax system in New York State and say, clearly it's not working. We need to do something different. There's ideas that sometimes are considered wild, off-the-wall ideas now that a few years from now might not be wild and off-the-wall. And I think that we need to look at a system in New York State where the building improvements on property are not taxable, that we look at the taxability of the land and the location of the land, and we have all payers pay, hospitals, educational institutions, research institutions. We can't just have giant sprawling complexes like we do on the corner of Fuller and Washington Avenue, Fuller Road and Washington Avenue in the city of Albany, where you have private companies embedded into an allegedly charitable entity, that being SUNY Poly, say, oh, it's all tax exempt. It just doesn't work. So there needs to be a real rethinking of the property tax system in upstate New York and how we fund school districts, how we fund local government. And I think that that would be something that would be beneficial, not just to Albany and the other cities in the capital region, but the other cities I named as well, running from west to east, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, south of here, Yonkers, Kingston. We need to rethink this property tax system, and we need to rethink how we effectively can broaden the base. To have that solution on my own here and now, that's not, you know, there's a whole host of stakeholders here. And there's ways that New York State needs to think about phasing things in, but there needs to be a solution here, because what's going on right now with property taxes in upstate New York is just totally unacceptable. And all these cities are on a downward trajectory, Albany very much so, because of the structure of this property tax system and how we finance local government and our school district.
Anything at all does not happen overnight. Now, this has been slowly progressing to the point it is right now. The tax-exempt property has roughly been the same over the past number of years, correct?
It's been growing at a small rate, a few percentage points a year. But, yes, it's not a new issue, no.
Okay. So my question is, the people in government, the elected official in government, should have the ability to see this, coming. Why hasn't the elected official recognized it? And how long has it been since it's been from rosy, great city where it is now, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago, what was it that led us to this point?
Well, I think that there's been a whole host of elected officials that I think really are not inclined to try to put their municipalities on good 5, 10, 15-year financial plans and do things that might not be popular now, but that they're good solutions for the long term, and they create the conditions such that your community is a desirable community. To a lesser extent, I mean, I think that that's one of the current failures of the political party that I'm a member of, and all the elected officials in Albany are a member of, the Democratic Party, right? There's some level of failure there, that there's just a disconnect between the party officials and the elected officials and the taxpayers in upstate New York. I mean, I don't know how these folks, if you read any academic literature or any research that's been conducted by the types of folks who study government and study government finance, I mean, they will say that upstate New York has these tremendous property tax burdens, and Albany certainly does have this tremendous property tax burden. And there's just been this level of divorce between the elected officials and the taxpayers they represent. Now, what's been very discouraging about the current administration in the city of Albany is that they've been fully willing and able to try to continue to take the attention off of the city's real financial crisis and fiscal crisis it faces, and try to generate this very prepackaged, manufactured news products that they you know, whether it be the a new bike lane, whether it be some sort of new lighting equipment that's going in somewhere, whether it be a tulip festival. I mean, you know, there needs to be more of a focus and a real heartfelt focus on how do you improve the city's finances. And as I told you before, Monday night we'll go down to the Common Council, and very likely there'll be three new positions created in city government that will be filled very promptly thereafter. And the city's in no position to be adding to its payroll right now for non-essential employees. City's just in no way, shape, or form in a position to do that. And anybody who has any understanding of government finance would say that. But that's not the concern of many of my colleagues on Monday night. Their concern is passing a resolution opposing a pipeline. And, you know, it's just a discouraging set of conditions. And I'm hopeful that through next year's elections, we're able to get a new management team in place in the city and a new governing board on the Common Council with a whole lot of new faces, because there are people in Albany that understand this. This is not that we're having some conversation that I think folks don't understand. And many voters have an interest in seeing the city's finances improve, because I'll tell you that in my ward and in all the wards in the city, because we don't really have wealthy people that have these great investments, but their greatest asset they have, the greatest asset they own, is their home. And if you devalue the home and you create negative pressure on the price of the home, that's not good for them, right? That's not good for their financial picture. And that's why I'm hopeful that I think a lot of folks will wake up and say, you know, that this group of 19 elected officials in the city of Albany, this is not working. There needs to be a change. And I'm hopeful that that change will occur next year. Excuse me.
This is a drama that will continue, correct?
Well, I don't think of it that way. I mean, I think of it as, you know, there's a challenge in place, and how do we address that challenge? And luckily, there's a handful of folks, I think, on the Common Council that are attentive to it, and I just hope that we have a greater group in the near future.
Frank, to be continued.
Thank you.
Commissioner Jr., and he has been talking about the lowering of the bond rate in the city of Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, and hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter if you have a comment or something to say about today's interview. Thanks, Frank, and thank you, everybody, for listening.